Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are underway on a Thursday, rainy Thursday, in the DMV. Good to have you with us. And if you're beyond the DMV, hopefully it's not as rainy, wet, dreary as it is here in the nation's capital. But either way, we are prepared to bring you a hopefully entertaining radio program. And it all starts with the very talented, the uber talented AMAC. And we're going to get a Cowboys update, a Cowboys stock report from Cowboy B. I hear they've got a lot of injuries. But the head coach says, Pat, injuries? No problem. Who needs CeeDee Lamb? We can beat the Packers and that stupid Micah guy. We don't need any of those guys. Cowboy B is in the house, so we'll get a Cowboy stock report coming up a little bit later on. And most notably, Quan Martin, Commander's starting safety, will join us. I'm being told right around 3 o'clock, so that's assuming that the practice schedule and everything else works out, meetings and all that. But, you know, that should be right in that time frame, if not exactly at 3 o'clock, so stay tuned. For Quan Martin, the starting safety of the Washington Commanders is going to have to play without his tag team partner this week and for the next several weeks in Will Harris. But, you know, obviously injuries are a part of the mix. And certainly the Commanders have a number of them. All right. The coordinators have both spoken. I think that's the proper grammatical way to say it. So we'll have some stuff there. I generally don't make a big deal out of what those guys say. Everyone else does. You guys know me. I do things differently. I don't sit there and microanalyze everything that they say. Because a lot of times they're not going to give you much, and it's a bunch of glossy crap. But I will say this, for a second week in a row, Joe Witt Jr. basically said, look, man, last week he said we played with terrible eye discipline, and today basically he said we had blown assignments, which I think everybody saw on the first Raiders play of the game and on that long touchdown to Trey Tucker late in the game. But there was other positive stuff to come out of that, so we will obviously get into all of that. Now, we're waiting for practice updates as practice begins. To see, again, I would assume Jaden Daniels will be out there. I would assume Terry McLaurin will not be out there. We will see if a guy like, I don't know, Noah Brown can get off the trainer's table without breaking something else and get out there, right? And I know, look, I don't want to be mean, but, I mean, it's just the bottom line reality is you absolutely cannot in any way, shape, or form count on him. And now that Terry's hurt, we don't know exactly how hurt, but now that Terry's hurt, certainly we have a thing to be even more concerned about than we were already concerned. And I think a lot of us were concerned about the depth and the overall viability of that room. Now, does it help that Luke McCaffrey stepped up in essentially extensive garbage time last week and caught his first touchdown and so on? Yes, that helps calm the nerves a little bit. But it doesn't mean that he's going to have a big role this week. It doesn't mean that he's going to have success this week. But now they need it. It's not, hey, that would be nice. It's, hey, they need it kind of thing, right? Because whether Jaden's the quarterback or not, whether it's Jaden or Mariota, if you don't have Terry, if you don't have Noah, who do you count on besides Debo? Count on. Like, hang your hat, count on. Now, again, opportunities are going to be had for McCaffrey and Jalen Lane and even Chris Moore. Got it. All of that. Got it. Opportunities to make plays are different than being able to count on somebody. And I would also say this, and I know this has been said on the station, so I'm basically repeating it, but not necessarily like telling you anything you guys don't know, is when you don't have anybody that can, at the receiver position, take the lid off a defense, it does change the perspective of how they can play you. They are a much more uber-aggressive defense in Atlanta in year two of Raheem Morris, year one of Jeff Albrecht, the defensive coordinator, who was the Jets defensive coordinator under Robert Saleh, and then became their interim head coach. And even though his son is a dope, he's still an accomplished, aggressive coach. So I would assume, if Terry doesn't play as expected, if Noah doesn't play, I don't know what to say about that. I don't expect him to play. And even if he does, it's a matter of when, not if he gets hurt again. I would assume that Atlanta is going to play eight in the box and just attack downhill and try and completely fill up every gap, every void, and move the pile back. And even if Ben Sinnott and Trent Scott and all of those guys are doing their thing, if Cliff Kingsbury and whoever the quarterback is don't come up with a plan to loosen up that box area, the Commanders are probably going to run for, I don't know, 75 or less yards, and it's going to be on the arm of whoever the quarterback is. Again, we don't know at this point. There were at least some favorable signs for Jaden Daniels yesterday. Some. But you look at everybody on the beat, and I know we essentially said the same thing. While there was some encouraging signs, by no means did anything that happened yesterday mean he was starting, meaning Jaden Daniels, on Sunday. Just because you talk to the dopey media, and I say that lovingly because I am part of the dopey media, just because you talk to the media on Wednesday does not mean you are starting on Sunday. Not at all. Does it mean that there's a chance? Yes. Last week when Mariota spoke, everyone kind of knew there was no chance for Jaden Daniels, even though they played the guessing game and hemmed and hawed and whatever and kept that alive. There was no chance. This week, at least for now, right now, and this is subject to change, you think there's a chance. A chance. So it will be really interesting to see how they handle this situation moving forward. Not only at quarterback, but again at wide receiver, and not only with Terry and whether or not he's going to play, but with Noah Brown and whether he's going to play, and who they call up and who they don't sign and who they haven't signed and why they haven't signed anybody. That's curious and odd to me. But that's where we're at right now. We will pass along practice updates as we get them. Cliff Kingsbury, as you would imagine, said really not a whole lot, although he did say when they drafted Jalen Lane, they view him as more of a slot guy. Now, can Jalen Lane play outside? Yes. Has he? Yes. Jalen Lane could have come up with that front corner shoulder fade. He could. Can he help you there? Yes. Can McCaffrey play outside? Yes. Can Debo play outside? Yes. So they have bodies they have some hope, some potential. But clearly, if you're Atlanta, and again, remember, it's not only Jeff Hulbert, the new defensive coordinator, but Raheem Morris, while he's coached on both sides of the ball, he is primarily a defensive-minded guy. And they are aggressive. And I would very much assume, hey, man, Marcus Mariota or Jaden Daniels, you going to beat us without Terry, maybe without Noah, with a bunch of young cats, you're going to have to beat us over the top by making big-time plays, big-time chunk splash plays. You're not going to beat us by running all over us and running for 200-plus yards. We are going to run blitz. We are going to fill every gap. We are going to attack. We are going to slant. We are going to stunt. We are going to play games. We are going to do everything we have to do, because we also know that Cliff Kingsbury is guilty of this. If something doesn't work right away, Cliff Kingsbury, like many, tend to go away from it. And that's what happened in Green Bay. And that's what has happened at times here. Now, what I hope for, is even if Atlanta, and this is assuming that Bill, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who didn't practice yesterday, practices today and is okay and is in the lineup, and obviously it would change if he's not, because then you'd be down to McNichols and Rodriguez. And I'm sure they would, again, elevate somebody on game day. To me, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury and I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with at wide receiver, and even if it's Jaden, but especially if it's Mariota, what am I trying to do early on? I'm trying to do the same exact thing, although with different thought process than I did to the Raiders. I'm trying to maul you at the point of attack. I'm trying to wear your ass out. I'm trying to bang on you. I'm trying to grind on you. Six offensive linemen, Trent Scott. 12 package, Ben Sinnott. 13, bringing in Colson Yankoff along with Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott. Right? I'm trying to simplify the attack to try and wear you out and to make it easier for my offense. Because I know this, Atlanta's defense is going to be fired up, buzzing around early on, a try and make up a bad taste. It wasn't like they were terrible last week. Remember, 7 of those points were off of a pick six. They got no help at all from their offense. They'll be at home. They know they're going against a compromised unit. They're mad as hell. So they're going to be buzzing. So you've got to kind of work it against them. Like, I think they came out and physically punched the Raiders in the mouth, and everybody saw it, especially on that first drive last week, because the Raiders, they knew, were an exhausted team. The Raiders, stupidly, were put in that second Monday night game 4 days, 5 days before, and then had to travel 2,500 miles, which nobody had a problem with except for me. Again, the only person that makes any sense at all, nobody had a problem with it at all. But I did, and I was right. Instead, we bitch and moan about Tom Brady. But anyway, that being said, nevertheless, you have to have a different, you have to have the same attack, the same plan, I believe, against the Falcons as you had against the Raiders, but with a different thought process, if that makes sense. Again, you're not trying to punch them in the mouth because they're exhausted. You're trying to punch them in the mouth to try and wear them down and to try and quiet their energy, their buzz, their juice, their pent-up anger, frustration, what have you, from last week. You have to keep them off balance. You can't put them or give them or allow yourself to be in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11 all game long. Because then you're in big-time trouble. Big-time trouble. If you do that, you're screwed. Against that improved pass rush, you're screwed. So you have to I think, slam them from the start. And it might not work right away. You might have to, again, don't listen to the analytics, amigos. Don't listen to the number nerds. If you get 1 or 2 yards on your first couple of carries, you don't have to sign your death warrant for the running game. You're allowed to actually still run the football. And that's how I would kind of see this game playing out. Atlanta is going to, again, try and aggressively attack the line of scrimmage, not just with their pass rush, with slants, with games, with twists, whatever style of defense you want to come up with for your defensive front. They are going to and I would take advantage of that. Run play action. After you run a play or two on third down, you know, 3rd and 7, run a deep shot play action. Who cares if it doesn't work? Put it in their mind, especially if A.J. Terrell's not there. And he hasn't practiced yet. And he missed last week and I think the week before that. Like, think about this from a mental standpoint. If you're Cliff Kingsbury, if you're the Commanders, hey, this is what I think they're going to try and do to us. They're going to try and get the crowd going early. They're going to try and get all that juice and emotion and pent-up anger and frustration. We got our asses kicked last week. And maybe it's not this simple, but in some ways I think it's this simple. We think we know what they're going to do. Let's counter it by punching them in the mouth. Don't play into it like we did against Green Bay. Don't allow them to kick us and then step on our throat like we did against Green Bay. Don't allow that. Counterpunch. With or without Terry, with or without Noah, with or without John Bates, with or without Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Bill, with or without Jaden Daniels, on the road, do it. There's nothing wrong with having a smart plan and failing or struggling. You know where there's something wrong? Everything that happened in Green Bay, which wasn't a smart plan. They didn't do enough quick game. They didn't have enough answers for Green Bay's largely four-man rush. Certainly no answers for their speed and their five-man blitz packages. They had nothing going intermediate. The 1 or 2 deep shots they took sucked. So, again, come up with a damn better plan. There's no excuse of a short week. No excuse of a short week. And Atlanta's defense nowhere near as good as Green Bay's. It's better than the last time we saw them. It ain't as good as Green Bay. All right, just getting rocking and rolling on a Thursday. Some opening thoughts there. How would you like the Commanders to attack? I know that's a big picture question. What would you like to see them do? Is it one individual? Is it a concept, philosophy, what have you? Let's get some serious X's and O's football here on a Thursday afternoon, in lieu of not having the injury information that we don't have, quite honestly, right now. Still to come, again, Quan Martin after practice, scheduled right around 3 o'clock, a Thursday night football preview. I have to bounce an idea off of AMAC and see if he's into it before I anoint it, and maybe we have to wait for next week. We do have a Cowboy B, Cowboy update. We have all of that to come and your calls at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980. So we spent most of our first segment, on the offense and how we expect Atlanta to attack early, how we expect Washington or hope Washington can counter and neutralize. One thing that obviously, and one way they can win this game, it regardless of who's playing and who's not playing on offense, and this is assuming that, right, a guy like Trey Amos plays. We know Will Harris is not going to play. By the way, again, Quan Martin, starting safety, will join us right around 3 o'clock. So we'll ask him, you know, different ways, but some of this or about this is by winning on defense and putting Michael Penix in a pretzel, right? Michael Penix was starting his second career NFL game when we last saw him in Washington right before the new year in the game that the Commanders went to overtime, won and clinched a playoff spot. Michael Penix didn't play great in that game. He played okay at times, played good at times, including late in a fourth quarter comeback, early on, had a nice touchdown drive. But they harassed him. They somewhat neutralized him, if I'm remembering correctly. And he's coming off of a terrible, 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 terrible game. Everybody's going to say, you got to stop Bijan. You got to stop Bijan. You got to stop Bijan. And I get it. I understand that. They have to control Bijan. What they can't do is let him rip off 6 and 7 per carry, 6 and 7 on first down to make it 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4. What they can't do is give up a wheel route, big hitter to Bijan. What they can't do is give up a check down screen on 3rd and 11 to Bijan and have him run for 18 yards in a big spot where you need the ball back at the end of the game or something like that. That's what you can't do. So, yes, Bijan Robinson is like the number one thing, clearly, but there are a lot more. One of them is kind of, how did you describe this cut, AMAC, that we're going to listen to about putting Penix in a bind, right?
Yeah, no-win situation.
In a no-win situation.
Yeah.
One of them is getting a lead early, taking Bijan, or at least, again, controlling Bijan, getting Penix and the Falcons to be, oh, God, here we go again. We've got to make bad mistakes, bad reads, putting them in a quote-unquote no-win situation.
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing good. Yeah. One play that really stood out, one of the Bobby Wagner sacks against the Raiders. It was a situation where Geno basically was left in a situation by the defense to take the sack or potentially gift wrap an interception to Jalen Holmes. I know that's probably one of the plays.
The one that he came free of, the one that he had him in, and he went down.
Which Bobby came free on that one. It was very quick.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
To put a quarterback in a situation like that, obviously without the schematics of it, but like, what does it take from your unit to put a quarterback in a situation where literally there's no victory there?
Well, the thing, it starts with stopping the run. So once we knew that we could get them in known pass situations, okay, we were going to force them to make a decision on who they're going to put the back on, and on that play you're talking about, the back was supposed to block Bobby. He ran out and he aborted it, so we were free. So now to your point, that's a rookie running back. He made a mistake there, and so if we can stop the run and play the run, now we're putting them in known passing situations. Now we can sort of dictate on who the back is. He going to block Bobby? Is he going to block Uzi? Is he going to be on one of those big guys? They don't necessarily want to do that. So, but we have to stop the run, you know, and that's the most important thing: stopping the run to get into the known pass situations.
All right, so you hear some of, and by the way, that's David Harrison of Locked On Commanders, WSA 9 with Joe Witt. So a good exchange back there, right? And Joe Witt's not shutting him down or anything like that. He's explaining. He's explaining how the Raiders made a mistake. Raiders running back made a mistake in pass pro, leaked out. Bobby Wagner comes free. Bing, bang, boom. But it's, again, putting the quarterback, putting Michael Penix in this case, not Geno Smith, an experienced veteran quarterback, in a bind, in a blender, in a twist where he's holding on to the ball too long, which is exactly what happened with Geno Smith. And he's scrambling for his life, but not being able to completely break you down on the run. And part of the way you do that, again, is by controlling the run, which they did for the large part against Ashton Jeanty. Now, Bijan Robinson is better than Ashton Jeanty. He's better as a receiver, obviously. He's better as a running back. I thought Ashton Jeanty really only had success when he was able to kind of, the best way I could describe it on the radio would be to kind of slash, if you will, in between the tackles. There was occasionally a crease or a gap that he would find. Otherwise, he was blown up at or behind the line of scrimmage. And over...
That was my bad. That was my bad.
You got me worried. I was like, wait, what? Duron? Okay.
My bad.
I got scared. When I heard Duron, I was like, whoa. Okay. I thought we were back in the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia. No. Okay. So my point being is, Bijan Robinson is better than Ashton Jeanty. The Atlanta offensive line is better than the Las Vegas offensive line. So it's going to be a lot harder theoretically and in almost every way to do this. But Joe Witt's point and logic would tell you, if you can have a very young quarterback in a twister, in a blender, on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, whatever it might be, if you're not giving up 6 or 7 yards a carry, if you're not giving up 6 or 7 yards on first down, so he's facing 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4, 3rd and 2, whatever, again, you put him in a little bit of a blender, and then you start, if you can, containing on the edges, because Michael Penix has the ability to move. He's not going to break you down by running all over the place. And if you let him out the back door, they run a lot of pistol. There's been a lot of criticism about that. I would assume he's going to be under center more or in gun. I would assume they're going to run more play action bootleg. Why wouldn't they? So, like, to me, what the Commanders are going to have to do is, I mean, obviously, yes, win at the line of scrimmage, and whoever's going against their right tackle is going up against the backup. Okay, whether it be Dorrance Armstrong or Von Miller, right? Because they move Dorrance around, whatever the case might be, that is going to be an area that you can and should win. I think if you say, okay, listen, if we control the run, which is exactly what they did last week, they didn't totally stop Ashton Jeanty, but they controlled the run. And if you control the run enough, consistently enough, to put Penix in 3rd and 8 plus, and then especially if you can get home a couple of times, and again, I don't expect Bobby Wagner to have the same impact, but maybe Frankie Louvu. Frankie Louvu finally had an impact stopping the run, knifing under blocks, getting into the backfield. We all know he didn't have a great first 2+ games, right? So maybe it's Frankie Louvu rushing off the edge as you simulate blitz or pressure from the other side or from Bobby Wagner. However this gets done, if you put Penix in 3rd and 8 plus consistently, even if occasionally he beats you with Pitts or Bijan or Drake London or whoever, that's okay. That's going to happen. You're going to give that up. But what you can't do is get just gashed and creased on every 1st and 10. That you can't do. You can't miss all sorts of tackles, right? You have to hope that everybody's got their tackling arms ready to go. And again, there was an encouraging sign. Like, Duron was great at the point of attack last week. Dorrance Armstrong has been great as a run stuffer and a pass rusher. Von Miller had the sack off the left edge last week. Again, I mentioned Frankie Louvu. We know Bobby Wagner as a blitzer up the middle. We know how good he is attacking the line of scrimmage. Like, to me, the one thing you can't also allow Bijan Robinson to do is to bounce it way outside and to be able to turn the corner. And that's where, again, our guest Quan Martin is going to have to step up, where the corners, Lattimore, presumably Trey Amos, are going to have to be able to peel off their coverage and step up. So there's a lot of things here that the Commanders are going to have to do well, and some things that they're going to have to do better if they're going to win this game, especially with as injury compromised as they are. But I would be talking about this stuff anyway, because this is football. This is, hey man, the Falcons are going to be bloodthirsty. They were embarrassed. They were dragged up and down the interstate in Charlotte. I mean, they're not going to come in wanting to play patty cake. They're going to come in wanting to kick your ass. 301-230-0980. We'll get to AA Athens and Annapolis in just a sec on the other side of a quick trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, so the Commanders are on the practice fields. We'll get you some practice updates from reporters that were at the open viewing period as they continue to get set for the Atlanta Falcons. Our pregame coverage begins at 9 a.m. right here on the Team 980 on Sunday morning. And again, Commanders starting safety Quan Martin going to join us right after practice, right around 3 o'clock. The Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys, Sunday night football in Dallas. Micah Parsons says he's not that bothered that the Cowboys aren't planning a tribute when he returns to play against his former team. Jerry Jones says the team has no plans to honor Parsons, who played four seasons before the shocking trade. Meanwhile, tonight in college football, it's Army down on the road against East Carolina. There, hockey preseason style, the Caps and the Philadelphia Flyers get it going tonight, and they will be playing in Hershey, Pennsylvania. How about that? As Capital One Arena still finishes up off-season construction, puck drop there at 7 o'clock, right here on the Team 980. That's because the Thursday night game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks will be over on the Fan, and that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, again, Commander Safety Quan Martin going to join us right after practice, right around 3 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Certainly, they have a tall task on Sunday against Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Michael Penix, a angry Falcons unit, Darnell Moody, and more on the road. And, you know, listen, there's been plenty of questions about eye discipline, big plays. You know, Joe Witt said something. I forget the exact words he used. I heard it on the radio on the way in between phone calls about, you know, what they did wrong last week. And the week before that, it was eye discipline. And on the very first play, it seemed like eye discipline again was a problem. So they are going to have their work cut out for them. There is no doubt about it. Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to hear from Cowboy B. He's going to set us straight on the Cowboys refusing to honor Micah Parsons and his head coach, who he values and trusts so much, Brian Schottenheimer, saying, we don't need CeeDee Lamb. We don't need Tyler Booker to beat the Packers. What are you guys talking about? We got this on lock. Yeah, that's what Brian Schottenheimer said yesterday, apparently, to the media. But before that, we get to our guy, Double A, Athan, in Annapolis. What's up, Athan? How are you?
Good, my friend. And I think this is about overcoming adversity. They're being faced with a lot of things they didn't deal with last year, mainly injuries. But they can't come out on Sunday with the yips, with dropped passes, missed field goals that are makeable, and just you know, dropping interceptions, things like that. They had the first three games to get over that stuff, you know, one of them being blown out. The thing you just said about eye placement, there can't be yips with eye placement on Sunday. Really can't afford to lose anybody else in the secondary, but the defense has to really come out and win this game and create turnovers. They created a turnover in game one, but it was overturned because of a penalty. They have to come out and establish the line of scrimmage. The Javon Kinlaws and the Deron Payne's are going to be huge in this game. And I think the main thing you don't want to see, it would be great if they get Penix to struggle. I don't think you want to see Kirk come in, though, because he's playing for his next chance, whether it be in Atlanta, riding out the season, or somewhere else. He's still got somewhat of a career left, and he's not somebody I want to see on Sunday. I'd like to root for him from a distance after Sunday's game is over.
No, that's obviously more than fair. I mean, you know, I mean, the one thing that I would say is if Kirk is in, that means things have gone horribly wrong for Penix. Now, the question is that in extensive garbage time, or is that in the second quarter or after halftime, and Kirk's got plenty enough time to lead a comeback? Again, we don't know if that's going to happen. That would be a really, really, really bad look for Penix, and I would have to imagine things would have to look really bad. I will tell you this, you know, one way, and I've said this all week, that I'm wondering, thinking, whatever, that Joe Witt and the Commanders' corners have to play is they have to play with their eyes. We talk about play with better eye discipline. Well, this feeds into that. I would play like more zone coverage in this game. I would play more off-man coverage in this game and try and force Penix to the outside and making the throws that he got picked on last week, which were all to the perimeter, all to the sideline, all by locking in and staring down the target and jumping those passes and trying to time them up. Not necessarily just for interceptions, although if you can get them, great, but also for pass breakups, right? So that's, to me, like, if there's a bunch of that and, I don't know, it's 21-3 at the half, you might see Kirk Cousins. But if Penix is playing with much better his own eye discipline and with his own command of the offense, then I think we're not going to see Kirk Cousins, and obviously that, again, gives the Falcons a chance because they have the weapons. It's not a question of, oh, they've got pedestrian talent. They've got the weapons. And even Kyle Pitts, who is madding, just so frustrating. I mean, I think he scored three straight touchdowns in three straight games against the Commanders. Right? And we know what happened we know what happened in week two. Now, they didn't struggle as much against Brock Bowers in week three, but is that because they won at the line of scrimmage and because Geno Smith was running for his life and because they had no run game? Or is that because they did something better coverage-wise against the tight ends? I'm not smart enough to know. I'm hoping Quan Martin can tell us, but you know, I don't know if he will.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. It's because we did get penetration. You know, you go back to the Green Bay game, you know, Jordan Love, he wasn't standing back there all day. They got some penetration, but it wasn't enough. And, you know, we can't come out of this game 2-2. They have to find a way to win, because if we become stagnant on offense because of our limited resources, because Terry ain't playing Sunday, it's not happening, okay? And if Jaden plays, great, but Jaden needs resources. This is a great chance for Jalen Lane and Ben Sinnott and whoever this kid's coming off the practice squad is going to be, and some of these other guys, McCaffrey, this is your chance to really shine and take some of the pressure off Zach Ertz. But we're going to have to run the football like we always have for the last 100 years to win the game. That's what it's going to be all about, that and forcing turnovers, at least in my opinion.
No doubt, no doubt. Thank you, Double A. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Good to hear from you. That's a good, solid call. Does anybody else struggle with this? It has nothing to do with football. I have a computer. I save every password on the stupid computer. Every password. I get messages all the time about password alerts and scares and leaks and all the I use the same like 3 or 4 passwords. I'm not going to tell you what passwords I use. I lock them in. I save them. Samsung this, Samsung. Every freaking day, I've got to battle a myriad of, oh, we got to send a security alert to this, to save this, remember this advice, trust this, to shut up! Just let me into my damn account! I can't remember everything that people, oh, this has got to have 8 letters and a special character and a lowercase letter and a capital letter and a special character. Shut up! Enough! Just let me into my websites. I need to look something up, for God's sakes. And I'm sitting here during the show, and I'm trying to unlock all these codes. And we sent a code to your phone. We sent a code to your email. We sent a code to your mother who passed away 2 years ago. Come on. Enough.
I'm glad you're not overreacting, though.
You don't have this problem.
No, I do.
Oh, my God. It is so annoying.
I don't think I handle it as well as you, though. I think the way you handle this is very outstanding. You're very calm and, you know, you're taking it well, taking it in stride. And, you know, I don't think I handled it that well. And I just wish I did. But I do feel your pain. Yes.
What you're saying is you wish you could be more like me. Is that what you're saying?
If you don't understand the language of sarcasm, sure. That's exactly what I'm saying.
301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll take a quick time out. We'll get you some practice updates in a sec right here on the Team 980 on your radio, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Take us with you, damn it. All right, you know, one way, obviously, the Commanders could get this done is if Bobby Wagner blitzes and has the same type of success that he did last week. He had the 2 sacks, generated 5 pressures on 7 pass rush attempts. That's a nearly 71.5% pressure rate. And sacked, of course, Geno Smith twice, his former teammate. His 5 pressures were the most in a game by any off-ball player this season. And his pressure rate was the highest by any player with at least 5 pass rushes. Wagner generated 3 of his 5 pressures in under 2.5 seconds. Now, again, I don't expect them to be able to do that as much in this game against the Falcons' offensive line as they did last week. So that's why I'm kind of thinking, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's Frankie Louvu that gets some loop blitzes and maybe lines up on the edge and then, you know, tries to attack in the middle or between the guard and the center on other side of the each side of the A-gap, whatever. That's what I'm kind of thinking, because if I'm the Falcons, I'm thinking, hey, we got to watch out for this, otherwise he's going to kill us here. We got to make sure we communicate. We got to make sure we pick up. Again, Penix, they have a better offensive line. I don't want to say Penix is better at recognizing stuff than Geno Smith. I don't think Geno Smith had a whole lot of time. And Geno Smith held onto the ball way too long trying to make a play. So that's something to keep in mind. All right, let's, before we get to 2 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, by the way, early on, we're going to hear from Cowboy B because he's got his Cowboy stock report. Lots going on there. And as well, Jaden Daniels' mom has weighed in on Twitter about something that is annoying her very much. And I wanted to bring it up to see if it's annoying you. You can't count on much these days, but you can count on our friends at Paramount Plus. That's right. Sports Talk right here on the Team 980 is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King right now, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. So again, we'll get to all of that coming up, plus Quan Martin as well. Let's get one call in here before the top of the hour. Let's get to Danny in D.C. on line 1. Danny is with us. What's up, Danny? How are you?
Hey, Chris. I want to thank everyone out there who voted for me as an all-star.
I've been so busy. I've been so busy with life, and I can't even begin to explain. So just for the record, right? So you won the thing that we mentioned about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, right? For the Nationals, for the Service Award.
Right, for the 50-50 team.
Right.
So, yeah, I will be representing the 50-50 on Saturday before the 4-5 game down on the field.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
Yep.
That's
yep.
great. Congratulations. So,
then, yeah. Yeah. And then I think Jaden should sit out this week. I think he should, you know, let him go one more week. Let Mariota play,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're playing on the turf. And then I think the defense has got to arise. You know, they got to start causing some turnovers. You know, they haven't had any turnovers.
Nope. They've had three turnovers on downs. Three turnovers on downs, but not natural takeaways, to your point. And some of that's got to, quite honestly, start with guys holding on to footballs, right? I mean, Trey Amos made a great play the other day, as I'm sure you saw from your perch. And no, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't an easy play by any means. You know, batted up in the air, whatever, and he almost came down with it, but he didn't. And that sometimes could be, quite honestly, the difference between winning a game and losing a game. It wasn't on Sunday, but it could be this Sunday. So they're going to have to squeeze some of this. Or, again, punch the rock out and recover, obviously, which they haven't been able to do either. So they're doing a lot of things right, but they're not doing clearly. I said before the year, 24-25 takeaways would be the goal this year, 1.5 per game, and they're 0-3.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So we will see. But listen, congratulations. I'm proud of you. You work really hard at that. Nats fans are lucky to have you. Obviously, Commanders fans on the visiting side, very happy for you. I wish I could make it out on Saturday, but I've got so much going on. That I'm not going to be able to, but I'll be there in spirit, and I hope to see some video, and I'm very happy for you.
I'm going to send you some photos of it.
There you go.
I'll text you some. Yeah.
There you go. Congratulations, Danny. Thank you, and good job. Good job by everybody. Danny works hard. He works a normal, full-time job, and then he's at Nationals Park, Northwest Stadium, and occasionally a Capital One Arena, doing all sorts of things, taking good care of you guys that pay the big bucks to go to these games. All right, 158 and change, Team 980 on a Thursday afternoon, hour number two. Straight ahead, Jaden Daniels' mom has weighed in on something that's interesting on Twitter. And Cowboy B has got a stock report on his beloved Dallas Cowboys, who might be seeing stars on Sunday night on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.